Lord, that we might have an impression that we are speaking in today. And that Thou hast promised what two or three are gathered together, I am in the midst. And that's what we ask. That Thou would teach us Thyself. Out of Thy own word, and like we have sung by Thy Spirit. Not only external knowledge, dogmatic, but experimental knowledge of Thee and that one sacrifice. O ye King of peace. Remember the congregation, the sick and afflicted, our youth, and that Thou mightest work in their hearts to set them apart for Thy own service and glory. Lord, have mercy upon us, forgive us all our sins, and look only in Thy dear Son and to us, for His name's sake. Amen. I once, the last several times, preached. Yeah, come in here. About Hebrews 6. So I think I pass it by. I speak a little bit about it. Hebrews 6 verse 4 is important, and what's following. It speaks about Melchizedek, and it's the king of Salem. And I'm reading the last verse of chapter 6, and then continue in chapter 7. So I pass some by, but now we continue because I preached about it. Well, I start reading in Hebrews 6, verse 20. Whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abram gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abram. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abram, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here man that die received tithes, but there he received them of whom it's witnessed that he liveth. And as I may so say, Levi also, who received tithes paid tithes in Abram. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek, and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertained to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arise another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifies, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but it bringeth in of a better hope, did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily at those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh man high priest, which have infirmity. But the word of oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Melchizedek is a type of Christ and his priesthood, his kingship. What's a type? A type is a kind of example in an office or in a person. It pre-states, it prefigures Christ to come. That's a type. In the Old Testament you find types. Samson is a type. David, Solomon. Way more. It doesn't mean that they are all and altogether alike, but there are some traces in those types that point and are pointing to the Lord Jesus. Okay, that's first. So Melchizedek was the king of Salem. Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. And he was the king of Salem. Salem means peace. He was the king of peace. Secondly, what we need to know is that in the Bible, names have a meaning. With us, sometimes names have a meaning, but we don't even know the meaning of names. But if God gives a name in the Bible, He reveals in that name, or Himself, or Christ, or an office. So a name is more than something that distinguishes. If God gives Himself a name, He reveals Himself by His names. So if you don't look to the names of the Lord, then you don't understand what the Bible means by names. It's important. Jesus is Savior who saves His people from sin. So anytime that you name the name the Lord Jesus, I always say the Lord Jesus. I have always a little bit of a problem by just saying Jesus. It's the Lord Jesus. It means any time you say it, it's this. He saves His people from their sins. Therefore in the Greek, sometimes you see Ha Jesus. The Jesus. He, the only one that saves His people from sin. Now Melchizedek was a king. And it seems to be that he suddenly appeared. Abram had fought with the kings who took Sodom, and he delivered, he set free his nephew and the kings. And suddenly, you see Melchizedek is coming up. This text says, in Hebrews, and I'm not going over every text, but the content more or less, that he has no beginning nor end. You don't know where he came from. And the Bible says he had no end nor beginning, no beginning nor end. That's another revelation. Christ has no beginning nor end. He is eternal. He's God. And He gives eternal life. Or, Paul says, an eternal salvation. Not timely and not for a little time, but for eternity. Everyone that believes on Him has eternal life. But the Father had said, you are the priest, and he said it with an oath. You can read it in Psalm 110. Look it up if you want. So David speaks about it by revelation. Can you find it and you help me? Yeah, I thought so. Oh, I'm looking for 109. That's not right. 10. The Lord has sworn, that's an oath. God can only swear by Himself. There's no higher. That's an eternal truth. Unchangeable. It's God's good pleasure. His oath. And He has sworn and will not repent. He doesn't change. God doesn't change. We change. But the Lord doesn't. He never repents about what he did and does. Some have said God makes a decision. No, he has a decree. That's different. Some people say God made a decision. No, he decreed. He says, I sworn. Unchanged. Thou art, not thou wilt be. I went with my catechism class about it. We believe in the Trinity. And every person has his personal attribute. A person has personal attributes. You know what I mean by it? Huh? That girl has black hair. And a different nose. And she's a bit heady. That are characteristic, character signs or what? Unchanged. It, by these things, a person is defined. Can you hear what I'm saying? We all have a nose. But you have a special nose, your own nose. And you're defined by your own properties. We're all man, but we are different. Yeah? But God in the Trinity, the three persons have their own personal things. What is it? The Father is. There has never been a time that God is not. He is. He wasn't and he won't be. He is. That's his name. Jehovah. Or Yahweh. I am that I am. Unchangeable. The God of the covenant. I am. Therefore the Lord Jesus in the New Testament says, I am the door. It doesn't mean God says, I am, and I am the door. God, the second person of the Trinity, is the door to the Father. And any time that you hear this, Echo Amy, I am, means Christ reveals his divine nature. We say, I am this and I am that. No, when the Lord says, I am, that is, I am that I am. It's his covenant name. The name of the covenant revealed the covenant of grace. The eternal counsel of God. God is. The Son is born. The status nascendus. It means he's always been. He is from eternity born. Can you explain it? But he is from eternity born. The Father has never been without the Son. But he is born out of the Father. The confession says, light out of light. Life out of life. Born. Therefore he is the Son of God. In his divine nature, but also in his human nature. By the Holy Spirit, receiving the human nature out of the body of Mary. But we speak here about the divine. And the Spirit of God goes out. That's his personal property of the Father and the Son. Now, if God the Father said, thou art, then he says, my divine Son is. He appointed him as an eternal Savior. What does he say? A priest, there you have it, for ever. His priesthood is forever. forever. Now you understand why you read in the New Testament that he's crucified from and before the foundation of the world. Now, Pastor, I can't understand. I can't understand it too. It's hard to understand. But God is eternal. And he acts in time. But his acts in God are eternal. Augustine said, do you know what's eternity? That's the same moment God created the world. Christ is born, Christ is crucified, and Christ is in heaven. It's all in the same moment. It's eternal. See, we always think that God changes. No, he's a priest forever. And he doesn't change. He cannot change. He is eternal. We sometimes think if God had said something to you, tomorrow it's different. And if he purposes something or has a decree, it's unchangeable. Election, calling, justification, everything is from the side of God eternal, unchangeable, forever. We always make, and I've said it now for the second time, we make God in time. He may change his mind. No, dear friend. The salvation of the people of God is not this and that. He is a surety. You find it in this chapter. The Goel. And he says, you are my priest, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Melchizedek is a type, and now we come to it, of Christ. It says the order. I wrestled with it a little bit today and this week. The order is an order. A, B, C. That's order, isn't it? That's an order of the alphabet. Now, after the order of Melchizedek. Now I'm going to this chapter. The first order is the order of the priesthood after, in our time, Levi. But Christ has a different order. He is from eternity to eternity. It's an other order. It's not a human order. It's a divine order. It's a divine order. Unchangeable. Now what's the first order in this chapter? Levi. I've said it already, that's an eternal order. You find it in three. Without father, without mother. Doesn't speak about his father and mother. Without descent, having neither beginning of days, nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. In the Old Testament, priests die, and their ministry ends. Can you see? And then a new generation comes. And that ministry ends. But the ministry of the Lord Jesus never ends. Cannot. No beginning nor end. It's an eternal ministry. Appointed by the Father. And my dear congregation, young people, I have to say to you, with a great privilege. God wants to be reconciled with you. It's not your purpose. It's eternal good pleasure. We never would seek for it. But God appoints a high priest to sacrifice, pay the penalty. He appoints. Well, what happened? Abram paid the tenth. That's again something of the priesthood of Israel. Whole Israel had to pay tenth of the property to the temple service. Therefore, in the New Testament, you speak again about the tenth of your income to give to God. 10%. And in the Old Testament, they had to pay 10% to the service of God, to the ministry of the priesthood, to the work of salvation. They had to. It was a legal obligation. And the Pharisees were even paying tenths of the killer and the command. I can translate, but very little seeds. You didn't need to pay for it. But they were so secure, they paid the tenth of it to obey the demands of the law. But listen. Abram had not to pay it. It wasn't by the law. He paid it by love. That's another order. God first teaches us the law. You must. And how far are you coming with must? Nowhere. It teaches it that you cannot do it. And are condemned. Therefore, the blood of goats and bullocks cannot take away the sins. Therefore, every year again and every day again, he had to sacrifice. But the sins of the conscience were not taken away. Even the sacrifices, says the Bible, show us that the sins were in the Old Testament outside of Christ, not forgiven. But they had a promise. They pointed to the high priest Melchizedek, the king of righteousness and the king of peace. So the whole Old Testament and the law points to Aaron, to that precious high priest, my precious Lord Jesus. And if you don't read the Old Testament in that order, you don't understand it. It gives hope for what you cannot do, God will do it. Therefore, the law is called, also in the priesthood, in the sacrifice, the taskmaster to Jesus. Just, if you cannot obey your Father, who do you need? The Lord Jesus. And therefore in the New Testament you hear it, children, obey your Father in the Lord by faith. In the Lord. He obeyed. And obey him in the Lord. That faith. Now, Abram gave the tenth. Levi gave the tenth because Levi was in the loins of Abram. Even the priesthood needed to be reconciled. The Old Testament priest needed forgiveness of sins by the high priest of the New Testament. A minister needs atonement of the Lord Jesus. And you need it. But the Old Testament is pointing to the Lord Jesus. You can also say it's a promise. Therefore, Augustine said, this is the true religion. Lord, give what thou demands, and give then what thou willst. Now, if your religion is only I have to, and I must, and I should, and I good, if you've never been bankrupt, you will be never have that abundance of grace. The righteousness of Jesus, Melchizedek, God, the Lord is my righteousness. That's his name. And secondly, he is also the King of Peace. May I ask you, who can tell me what that means? He makes peace by his sacrifice. But tell me if I'm wrong and tell me how it is. He rules also by peace. Tell me how that is. Yeah. If you have no peace, see what it is. That only know the people of God. That if he hides his faith, is bitterer than. So God rules by peace. And you know what I'm saying, if you're a child of God, if you go the wrong way, total upset here. Earlier or later. You might deceive you a little bit, but if you don't have peace, you know you're wrong. He rules by peace. For he is the King of Salem. The King of Peace. I've sometimes had that I want to go the wrong way. I couldn't stick to it a long time. The moment I went, I felt it already. God was withdrawing his goodness from my soul. No peace. Isn't it wonderful? The King of Peace. It's a spiritual reality. But it's only those who have peace and know what's peace. And they also know what's no peace. Well, Levi paid it, and therefore the perfection is not, now I go back, not by the Old Testament sacrifices. There's no perfection. You read it in verse 11. For they did it by the law. They were under the law. There is something to say. Although it was a law, I believed Abram saw the day of the Lord Jesus afar off, and he embraced it. Already in the Old Testament, he found the Lord Jesus in the promise and believed what God had promised. But Paul says, without us we cannot be perfect. And he means, if Christ wasn't sacrificed, all the promises were void. But they are not void, for he is a priest from eternity to eternity. In him are all the promises what? Yea and amen. The priest, ordered by the Father. And my dear congregation and friends, it's by his endless sacrifice, eternal sacrifice, that God's people will be made perfect, unchangeable. Therefore, it ends this chapter. Wherefore he is able, and now we go further, verse 25, also to save them to the uttermost. His salvation doesn't end after 40 years. He saves them unto eternity, to the uttermost. First, by righteousness. Tell me what it means by righteousness. Some people say always to me, "Yeah, you have to have forgiveness of sin." I said, that's half salvation. You have to be perfect. For God created you perfect. Now what is righteousness? That he gave his perfectness to me, and he took my sins to pay the penalty. Faith, says Luther, is changing. He says, give me your sins, and I'll give you my righteousness. And then Heidelberg Catechism is clear. As if I had never done any sin. For he is from eternity to eternity, Savior. Yea, if I had myself obeyed the law. He says, my obedience is your obedience. And by faith, it's your obedience. Now you can understand, but I've seen people already wrestling with it, even while I preached it, that a woman who had 5 husbands, and the 6th was not her own husband, and I felt it while I preached Sunday. I think this will bring resistance. The Pharisees didn't like that. But God says, you have my righteousness, and I take your sins, and I pay the penalty. That's grace. King of righteousness. His righteousness. And secondly, after sin, after grace, what are you doing? Sinning more. Making your debts daily more. But do you know what he does? He is the high priest, and he's entered into the inner sanctuary. And he says, Father, I paid it. Let people go. Let Peter go. He cursed me, but let people go. I am cursed for him. He makes intercession. So he saves to the uttermost. There is not a day, my dear friend, that he doesn't pray for you. Not a single moment that he doesn't pray for you. He slumbers nor sleeps. Yeah, but I have to pray. Even if you don't pray, he prays. Why do you say this? Because you always want to have a good prayer, deep knowledge. But the Bible doesn't say it without reason that he slumbers nor sleeps. Always make an intercession. Oh, he says, John is going the wrong direction. Oh, Father, forgive him. Forgive him. Bring him back. I take my peace from him, that he might return repenting. He can save to the uttermost, to the end, all and everything. Therefore, we can only come to God by him. By him. He is the way. He makes intercession. Therefore, he lives. Now I'm going to say strange things. You might sleep and not pray, and he doesn't sleep and prays for you. Do you know what you feel in a resistance? For we are really enemies to live by grace. I read Solomon when I was young. 600-700 women. I thought, that must be wrong. But then I heard that holy man of God wrote the Bible books. And who wrote some of the books? Did God let him go? No, he repented. He warned for the strange woman. The end of his life. Sure. But if sin can take you out of heaven, what does grace mean? Nothing. Nothing. Only by grace I'm saved, through faith, and that not of me. That's not antinomian. Antinomian says, I have nothing to do with the law anymore, and with peace and all that peace preaching. No, that my salvation is sure, and now I can live and do what I want. No. God's people have a relationship with God and feel if they sin and are suffering. For such an high priest became us, is born unto us, was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needed not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, he had no, and then for the people's. For this he did once. He once sacrificed. Once. Hapax. Once for all. When he cried out for the people of God, it is finished. When he offered up himself, he sacrificed himself. His blood, his life, his soul. Instead of he died instead of his people. For the law maketh man high priest with heavy infirmities, but the word of oath, that's God's decree, God's design, God's good pleasure, which was since the law maketh the Son, was consecrated. It is a surety forevermore. Now I have a question. If you're a Christian and you're doubting, what do you do? Hurting the Savior. Who once for all sacrificed but we are doubting. I know there is an old father who says in the hole for a key fits the key of grace. I know. But is it finished or not? For God's people. It is. Do you need to add to it? Can you subtract from it? So not according to the law. Priesthood that die and can never pay. They are sinners themselves. They need Christ too. But Christ is the King of righteousness, my righteousness. And he is the King of Salem. He is my peace. Once for all. Once for all. Are there questions now? Otherwise we go and have some coffee, I think. Is there coffee? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I have two questions.
Yeah.
Christ said to his disciples, I do not say that I shall pray the Father for you, but to the Father, Mother.
You, yeah.
So, there is some point. Isaiah, I like Isaiah, but he said, the child is born. And then he goes on, the child is a little baby, and his name is Wonderful.
Yeah.
Counsel, the throne God, Father of
peace,
King of peace. Now, I myself said that each elements that Isaiah said are brought into the soul, and the soul is born into it.
Yeah.
True.
You get to know him in this way.
It might not be clear.
Yeah.
But
it might become clearer.
For our souls are part of God. Right?
Yeah, given by God. Yeah. But they need to be saved. You need a saved soul. You have a lost soul. But what you're saying is, and that's right, but that's not always known immediately. The Lord Jesus says they are thine, and thou hast given them to me. And I give them back. Now what Inge bedoelt is, what Inge means is, even before you know it, God loves you. If you're a child of God. And he's right. They are thine, he says. And thou hast given them to me. Absolutely. And then you get to know the names. And I've said, the names have a content, means something to you. Wonderful. Isn't it wonderful if he's revealed to your soul? Father of eternity. Isn't he eternal? Not sure you can go, but there are more names to be known spiritually. And what Inge said is second, Isaiah says, a son will be given, no?
Yes.
Yeah. There you have the eternal acts of God. And my dear congregation, many people wrestle with these things because they make God a man that he can change his mind. And he doesn't. He is, what do we call it? Faithful. If we are not. But you need to know it by rebirth, by the cutting work of the law and by the ingrafting work of the gospel used to reveal Christ to your soul. Otherwise you're a stranger. You will be a stranger. Let's have first coffee and then afterwards we... You have another question still, Inge, isn't it? You said so, you had two. Let's drink coffee first and then we come together with Linda again. Yeah.